Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Eli, my man, let's go.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
Welcome in. Lawrence Holmes here with you until 10 o'clock tonight. We got a full show. I'm here with you until 10. We got all sorts of stuff to do tonight. Layla Rahimi is going to join me at 7 o'clock. She'll be here for the whole hour for her monthly visit. That's what she calls it. It's trademarked to her, the monthly visitor. 8 o'clock, Anthony Heron and I are going to be together. And I'm looking forward to talking with Anthony. He does the second best TV post-game show in town over at Fox. So we're gonna talk about that. It'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. And we'll do other stuff. What's wrong, Eli?
I'm enjoying life back here. We all are.
You're enjoying life?
It was too much for Eli.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Eli. That's not... You don't need to see that.
We're fired up. We're fired up about this.
We are fired up about it. Totally fired up about it. It's whatever. I'll just tell you this. It is always my preference to not do stuff on the air. That is always my preference. I don't feel like that stuff should necessarily be on air content. I think there's enough to talk about. That's all. And the thing is that Danny and I can disagree about sports all the time, and we often do. If he had a real issue with the video, which clearly he did off air and not on it, then he could have just said something to me and it would have been, I could have told him exactly what I was talking about, which is my feelings about how I approach doing the job. And my job is to not cheerlead just to cheerlead. Like, I will cheerlead if there's something that's really good that's going on and it's consistently good, I'm all for it. I'm also just not, and like I said in the video, I don't think that you have to be... That you don't have to accept everything that goes on in Hallis Hall as gospel. That's all. So, you know, it's a weird way to start the show. I apologize for that. That's not what I planned to do on tonight's show. Like I said, we got a lot of great guests on the show tonight. And I'm excited about that. I'm excited to talk the X's and O's with Anthony Heron. I'm excited to break down all sorts of stuff with Layla Rahimi. And also, I want to talk about the Cubs and Chili Davis and their firing of Chili Davis. And some of the things that Chili Davis said on the way out that make me wonder what's going on. And here's what I want to ask Sahadev Sharma, because he's going to be on his 640. Whose guy was Chili Davis? Because I initially thought that because of the relationship that they had in Boston, that his guy was Theo. Theo and Jed loved him from back in the day. And when you hear him talk about hitting and launch angle and some of the issues that he had with launch angle. I wonder if Joe's his guy, because you had Theo saying that launch angle is not a myth. And then we played the sound last week of Ted Williams talking about hitting and the old school ways, which are launch angle, strangely enough. So I want to talk about that. I'm really fascinated. Really fascinated by what happened and who was he not able to get through to? Who did Chili Davis struggle getting through to? Because he had some things that he told Gordon Wittenmeyer. Here, I want to pull this up so I can quote it directly from Gordon. And I wanted to run them past you and get your thoughts on it. You can call in 312-644-6767 is the number if you would like to be a part of the conversation. So the name of the piece, the headline on the piece for this piece that Wittenmeyer did, Chili Davis, quote, "not going to blame myself, wishes next Cubs hitting coach better." It's from Gordon Wittenmeyer. And Gordon kind of paints a picture of him packing his stuff and him packing up his truck and driving out to Arizona and all that good stuff. But there were some quotes in here that I thought that you might find interesting. Like this one. He says, "hopefully he has better success at this than I did," talking about the new hitting coach. "But regardless of who's there, certain players there are going to have to make some adjustments because the game's changed and pitchers are pitching them differently. They're not pitching to launch angles and fly balls and all that anymore. They're pitching away from that." He goes on to say, "they're going to have to make that adjustment whether I'm there or not." Wittenmeyer writes, "Davis, who said he'd already been contacted by 3 or 4 other teams, had high praise for veteran Ben Zobrist, who had a big bounce back year in 2018. But when asked about some others, said, quote, 'I'm not going to say anything about other players,' close quote." Davis played a big role in the development of Boston's young core of hitters now playing in the American League Championship Series. He said he had expected to return to Chicago, a city that he had idealized during his career that exceeded his expectations. "I've got to flush it out, get it out of my head, start over. I guess I did a year. I made a bogey. I've got to make a birdie on the next hole to counter that bogey. Actually, I made a double bogey. I hope there's a par 5 ahead and I can..." Chili Davis really loves golf and golf metaphors. He then said, "what I did doesn't matter. What I know, I guess, doesn't matter. I think what really matters is what they want, the players. I learned a lot of this year. I learned that the next situation I get in, before I say yes to a job, I need to make sure I know the personnel I'll be dealing with in the clubhouse." Spicy Chili. Quote, "I hope the next guy connects better with the players because I felt that there were multiple players there I didn't connect with. It wasn't that I didn't try. It just wasn't there." So that was Chili Davis. So Herbie and I were talking about this before the show. The idea of the hitting coach. As far as the coaches go, I think that he is the less important version. The pitching coach is more important than the hitting coach. But I do remember people texting, tweeting, calling in, saying that the problems that the Cubs are having are directly related to the hitting coach. And here's the other thing. It seems like Theo and Jed side with you. So here's the question. Do you feel better about where the Cubs are at because they fired Chili Davis? And I know that in the moment when you're watching them, when you're watching them play and you're watching them not hit, I know in the moment the reflex is we got to fire. Somebody's going to get fired. Joe's got to get fired or Chili Davis has got to be fired. And then you realize that have had 6 hitting coaches in 8 years, and they will hire their 3rd in 2 years coming up. Well, they've hired with Iyo Pace. Is that how you say it? Is it Iyo Pace? Someone that they're familiar with.
Iyo Pace.
Someone who's familiar with the organization and the way the organization does their business. But does it? I wonder how much it actually matters. And I know that Theo and the guys, they felt like it mattered enough that they needed to make a move. But they've also now hired 3 hitting coaches in 2 years, and we've seen the Cubs make the postseason the last 3 years. Is it possible that what we see now is an issue more of talent than coaching? Like, do they now have to look at the guys that are in the clubhouse and what their projections were for those guys as they continue to try and find people who are going to be able to get or convey whatever message they need to convey to them is? There's also the idea of, and Herbie brought this up, how many of your guys actually need a hitting coach? Like, if we went down the Cubs roster, or whatever we imagine a hitting coach being, if we went down the Cubs roster, how many of those guys do you think, of the guys that are important to you, do you think need a hitting coach to help them hit? Yes, Eli?
I actually talked about this with Jason Hayward before the whole Chili Davis thing went down. I think it was the last week of the regular season, and he said that Rizzo is essentially his own hitting coach. And I know that's one of the better hitters on this team, but that's still a prime example.
Right. Does Chris Bryant need – Chris Bryant and his dad are kind of – you know, he's got a whole hitting thing down now. So does he need that? I don't know. But I thought that we could talk about it. 312-644-6767 is the number. The other thing is, I see someone actually wants to bring it up, so I will allow them to bring it up. Andy, you're on the score.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. So here's the deal, man. You know, the first half of the season, they were great. I mean, they were hitting ball all over, scoring runs, and then it was like a light switch, right? It just turned off. So I don't think it's such a hitting coach type deal as far as, you know, maybe personalities clashing for some reason, because you can't just go for being that good to just all of a sudden non-existent, you know, scoring runs. So I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
Yeah, that's the point I was going to bring up, Andy, that you had a team that did hit in the first half, and then in the second half they fell asleep. And you wonder how much of that has to do with the hitting coach. I'm not sure. This hour being brought to you by Vasectomy Clinics of Chicago. Get the ice peas. Planning around a sporting event, sit on the couch, you put the, you know. This segment is being brought to you by Spot Hero. I didn't use Spot Hero today. I should have. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First-time users can enter promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter. Out to Madison and Bill. Hey, Bill, you're on the score.
Hey, Lawrence, big fan, longtime listener. Want to just see, you know, is this potentially, you know, men kind of installs the whole mantra where everyone has to be, you know, confident. Do you think that some of that confidence with such a young team might have bred some cockiness to the point where maybe they kind of think they're a little full of themselves, and when someone tells them they have to, you know, make an adjustment, they might be a little bit resistant to that? I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Bill, I appreciate the phone call. That's kind of what we're talking about. If you're Chris Bryant, and your whole career, you've done things a certain way. And we know that he was limited because of the shoulder. And you've done things a certain way. Then you've got someone telling you, both the hitting coach and the manager. Basically, Joe and Chili told Chris Bryant that everything that he had been doing up to this point is wrong. Launch angle? Nah, man, use the whole field. But I'm an MVP and a rookie of the year. And college player of the year, and high school player of the year, doing it the way that we worked on it. So I do think that there is some room to discuss some of that stuff. So if you would like to, we can. 312-644-6767. In all honesty, do you feel better now Do you feel better that the Cubs have fired one hitting coach and hired another? Now that we're removed from the intensity of a season, are you like, okay, that's what I needed? Did you get the pound of flesh that you wanted? 312-644-6767 is the number. Back after this on The Score.
There's times when it's not appropriate to be, you know, with situational at-bats or against certain types of pitching, or if you have a certain type of swing. That particularly bugs Joe. If you take a guy with who's just built one way with a swing, you know, that is built for more low-line drives, like taking Almora or something. Like no one's ever going to, in the contact that he has, no one's ever going to take him and try to get him to, you know, scoop underneath the baseball. That's something that would bother Joe. But he's not out there. Joe's not out there telling guys to hit down on the ball and hit ground balls. Not at all.
So that was Theo Epstein talking about Joe has thoughts, but he's not going against what we think organizationally, or honestly, just what works, which is hitting the ball in the air. There's more square footage in the air. You're more likely to get a hit in the air. You're obviously more likely to get a home run in the air, because I don't think you can hit one on the ground. Not anymore. Didn't they allow for that? Like, wasn't that a home run, like, way back in the day, if the ball hits the dirt and then bounces up into the stands? Eli, you're looking at me like I don't know what I'm talking about. I might not. But I feel like it became a ground rule double. But back in the day, you could hit the ball, it would bounce and go over the fence, and it would be a home run. Fact check that. Fact check and see if I'm right about it. A texter says, Lawrence, don't you think a hitting coach is necessary because pro athletes sometimes they overthink the fundamentals? I think that it's necessary, but I'm not sure that the way that we view hitting and pitching coaches is the way that players view it. We think, oh, well, here's a guy who's going to help them hit. And sometimes that guy is a drinking buddy or a confidant or someone who you go, can you take a look at this? Can you take a look at what's going on with me? I'm not getting the most out of my swing. It might not matter at all. And think about it. If the Cubs have had six hitting coaches in the last 8 years, but forget about that, because that's pre-Joe. Some of that's pre-Joe. If they're now getting ready to hire their third hitting coach in 2 years, maybe that doesn't matter. Maybe all of the stuff that we think about it doesn't matter at all. I'm in the school of, I think the pitching coaches matter a little bit more, but maybe we're looking at it all wrong.
Lawrence?
Yes, Herbie.
Until baseball rule 6.09 was added in 1931, a ground rule double, a ball that bounced into the stands fair, was considered a home run.
See?
I take the fall.
See? I don't blame you. I blame your education. You had some horrible teachers.
It's on DePaul, you right there.
Yes. Had some horrible teachers there. See, I happen to know stuff. It's funny how that works. Out to Andersonville. And Dave. Hey, Dave, you're on The Score.
Hi, thanks for taking my call tonight. When Chile makes a comment about, I couldn't get through to some of these ball players, I wonder what kind of a context we should put that in that is Chile trying to take a one-size-fits-all approach that some guys just aren't getting and doesn't work for some guys? Or is Chile trying to play to each person's individual strengths, develop their own, you know, individual hitting strength, and maybe there's some deficiency there? And, you know, with that second thought, it's sort of related, how difficult is it to coach an approach where you get some guys to just lay off bad pitches and pitch recognition and pitching patterns to figure out how pitchers are getting ahead of them, what to lay off, what to go after, in what situation? Interested to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, I think that's what you have here, is you have them saying, well, maybe we need a different approach. Like, I might not be able to get through to someone the way that Herbie can. My approach might be to heavy-handed. And his approach might be too soft for other guys. I'm just using that as an example. Herbie's actually the heavy-handed one in this scenario.
Isn't that weird?
It is strange. You wouldn't think, but you know what I mean.
Yes.
Nick, you're on the score.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'm just thinking that Chili Davis is the scapegoat in this situation. Like you said earlier, the level of hitting we have and the amount of pitching or hitting coaches we go through, is it really necessary? Cubs fans are looking for somebody's head to roll. The front office needed to do something, and they just fired him because they don't really need him. They just needed to have somebody there.
Wait. This, Nick, you kind of hit on the point that I was trying to make earlier. So you know this, right? So as a fan, you're sitting there saying, I know that that's what this is, that they just needed someone to kind of fire, and it's going to make people happy. So after that happens, do you actually feel satisfied by it?
I wasn't calling for anybody's head to roll. I just thought our batting in the second half of the season wasn't there. I can blame the batting coach. I can blame the players. But when it comes down to it, I think the Cubs front office just used them as the scapegoat.
All right. I appreciate the phone call. The bottom of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Football. Coach Fitz and the Cats host Wisconsin on October 27th at Ryan Field. Limited tickets remain. Buy now at NUSports.com. Let's go out. What, Eli? You're looking at me weird. Nothing?
Just chilling.
What are you over there doing? I see Dean Davis over there hanging out.
Eating his peanut butter sandwich.
No jelly?
Just peanut butter. Barbecue chips.
Why is Ken laughing? Because he asked the same question.
I've never heard anybody criticize this before in my life until I meet Herb Lawrence.
Hold up. You're legitimately only eating a peanut butter sandwich?
With a bag of chips.
Like, are the chips in the peanut butter?
No.
But no jelly?
No jelly.
And no drink. Just like
dry
cotton mouth.
Yeah.
I have water to the side. Damn.
So have you ever liked peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Not really.
Do you ever put jelly on toast?
Nope.
Must be jam, because jelly don't shake like that. It's for the old school players out there. Herbie, why are you making fun of him?
That's my thing with Eli. I make fun of him because that's weird, though. Texters, come on. Isn't that weird? Just a peanut butter sandwich and barbecue chips, too. Weird.
Hot J's chips, my friend.
So there's no sweet in your salty.
Salty's fine with me.
Okay. Do you even like sweet stuff?
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this now.
I love my candy, of course.
What kind of candy?
Sugar, Twix. Twix is my favorite. Kit Kat and Twix.
Are you the type of person that enjoys candy corn in Halloween?
No, I hate it.
All right, you're all good with me. Because that's the worst.
No, peeps are worse. I know.
This White Panther's thing, man.
I know.
It's ridiculous. For some reason, she feels like she can only like buy them at Easter and Halloween, but they sell them all the time. You ever put one in the microwave? That's fun.
No, I'm good.
No, I don't mean to eat.
Oh, you like to explode it?
Not to explode it, but it expands.
It's the first thing I think Herb and I have ever agreed on is that peeps suck.
Well, I guess we can knock peeps off the list of endorsements for this show. They weren't going to endorse anyway. We're going to take a break. We'll find out what was going on, at least from someone who covered it. Sahadev Sharma of The Athletic will join me next here on The Score. Some fun conversation about the Cubs, and there's some interesting stuff going on around the Cubs. You have Jason McLeod interviewing for the GM job in San Francisco. You have the assistant GM leaving for Texas. You have Chili Davis being fired, a new hitting coach being hired. I told you this offseason was going to be interesting with the Cubs. I wanted to pick the brain of Sahadev Sharma, who does an incredible job covering the Cubs for The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma. He joins me now here on The Score. What's up, Sahadev? How are you?
I'm doing well. Enjoying a shorter shorter October than I'm used to as far as covering baseball, but at least, you know, still plenty to watch on my TV and talk about when it comes to the Cubs, that's for sure.
Do you feel like you needed the extra rest, just like the players?
I can always go for a little extra rest, Lawrence.
All right, I was dying to ask you this question. Whose guy was Chili Davis?
As far as who did he get along with most in the clubhouse?
No. Like, was this a Theo hire or was this a Joe hire?
Oh. From everything I've gathered, it was both. He's highly respected by both. And it was also a comfort thing with Joe, right? They wanted to get a staff for Joe that he was fully comfortable with, guys that can really help him maximize his skills. So he can trust everyone that's around him. Not saying that he didn't trust them as much as, like I said, comfort, I think, is the best word there. It's like getting guys around him that he's really, really comfortable with and hoping that allows Joe to be his best self, which, you know, I think they all believe he's a really good manager, but there are some little things that they wanted him to work on and adjust in a sense, and hopefully a staff that he's more familiar with and comfortable with would have helped that.
From all the time that you've been covering baseball, what have you figured out the hitting coaches do?
So I think it's complicated and also not complicated, if that makes sense. They're not out there. They're not like Anthony Rizzo isn't going to whoever the hitting coach is every single day and going over things and really, really trying to figure out his swing every single day, right? Like a guy that's made that huge transition already, which, I mean, we've talked about it over the years, the big transitions Anthony Rizzo's made. He has his routine. He has his things. And when he's going well, the hitting coach is probably staying out of his way more than anything. You know, he has times when he goes to the cage. He has times when he has little things to do. But, you know, the guys that are going well, a hitting coach isn't bugging them very much. The guys that aren't going well, the guys that are still developing, that's when you may get little things. But most of it is little guidance, little like, you know, here, make a tweak here or try this or let's try this drill. It's a lot of drills. It's a lot of the mechanical stuff isn't as prevalent at the major league level. There are times when it needs to happen. There are times when a guy is making a major overhaul. You prefer that to be in the off season. We've seen it with Jason Hayward. We've seen it with other guys, and guys are constantly making tweaks, trying to figure out things. But it's like I said, it's I think it's a little overrated if you reduce it all to the Cubs' struggles on offense. Put it at Chili's feet. I think that's a terrible way to look at it. Really, I don't. And especially if you just compare them to the Boston Red Sox, all these things, I think those things are really way too simplistic. And there's a lot that's going on here with the Cubs and baseball in general with hitting coaches. I don't think you can put this at Chili's feet.
This is a question that you probably can't answer, but you're more qualified to answer it than I am. How do you message that clubhouse with the success that those guys have had, whether it's John Mailey or Chili Davis or whomever? How do you go about trying to get messages to them about what they're doing in the batter's box?
As far as a hitting coach, right? That's
yeah.
What you mean? So that's why I think they had to go with someone that knows these guys, that has a relationship with these guys. I think it makes sense to go with Anthony Iaposi. It's not like he's this huge name or has this giant reputation as a great hitting coach. It's more that he's worked with these guys. He can, if there's a message that needs to be sent, he knows how to send it. And I think what you're getting at is how do you communicate with these guys, right? Was Chili unable to communicate with them properly? I'll never forget something that maybe it was obvious and I should have understood this right away, but hearing it really like, a light clicked for me. But, Hayward always liked working with Hinsky. Why did he like working with Hinsky? Because they played together and they had the same language. They talked about things that, you know, we all talk about differently, whether it's me, whether it's scouts, whether it's players, whether it's coaches. Everybody has their own language, right, about certain things and how things click and how you may see something in your head and then translate it into the game or into – batting practice or whatever it is, Hinskin, he had the same language, and that worked well for him. It helped him understand things. It helped him understand exactly what he meant by whenever he was coaching him or telling him to try something or do something differently. And I think that has that's an important aspect that probably Chile wasn't speaking the same language as some of these guys. And that's not Chile's fault in a sense, but maybe it was. Maybe it's he said it really well in Gordon Whitmire's article, I thought, that, you know, he needs to know who he's working with and the language that they speak, in a sense, because maybe these younger kids are looking at things differently, and he needs to understand that, and that's part of growing with the job. So I think a lot of it is speaking the same language, making sure you connect with someone on a deeper level than just see the ball, hit ball type thing, and it's in comfort level as well.
Talking with Sahadev Sharma, who covers the Cubs for The Athletic, follow him on Twitter, at Sahadev Sharma. How valuable, in your opinion, has Jason McLeod been to the success of the Cubs in this era?
I think it's been significantly valuable, but there's obviously a little deficiency there, right? When you look at what was expected as far as producing a player development and drafting a powerhouse, right? I mean, it started off gangbusters. Best system you've seen, on either side of town in a while. A lot of guys producing, but it's been a lot of first-round picks, right? There's some people wondering, where's the depth? Where are the guys from the later rounds, hidden gems that you guys were able to unearth? The pitching, we've talked about this plenty over the years, and it's still an issue. And I've had some people ask me, you'd think they'd come up with just one pitcher, just one guy that could be a valuable piece of their puzzle that they drafted and developed, and they haven't been able to do that. Some of that's bad luck. Some of that is just the randomness and the difficulty that comes with drafting pitching in general. But I think Jason McLeod's highly respected around the game, and he's one of the best at what he does. And he's probably as ready as he's going to be to make that next step, right? He's been talked about for years to make that next step. I really do wonder where things have gone wrong with some of these picks, whether it was just mistakes or bad luck. And I'd love to dig into that a little bit more. Is there an issue developmentally? Is there an issue evaluating talent, high school, college level talent? It's all something that's really hard to quantify and figure out, because it's an imperfect science.
Well, what's your opinion about, if we discuss the hitting issue, for example, is it possible that this is an issue of players being who they are, and perhaps the evaluation on what they're capable of is wrong?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, I definitely think that's possible. I think, and I've written this in a sense that I think that's part of what they need to figure out. And I keep saying this, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but there are guys like Hobby, right? There are guys you wait on that are raw, and you see the talent and you see the work ethic and you see everything. You say, can't give up on that guy. I'm not trading this guy, because it is just, there's no way I can get equal value for what I believe he can be. And you made the right bet there. You bet on him, and it's worked out. And then there are other guys that you see the raw talent, but wait, there's something missing here. Wait, it's not clicking. He's never going to reach that talent. You have to figure that out before the value tanks, right? That's what really separates these great teams and to really make a powerhouse. Who do you keep now? Just keep coming back to that this offseason. Who do you keep and who do you move? And maybe, did you make the mistakes already? Mm. Should you have moved Kyle Schwarber 2 years ago when you were saying that you cannot move him? He's way too valuable. Yeah, he probably helped you win a World Series. Unlikely you win a World Series without him, right? He was a big part of that, had some really big hits. And just the value of what he did to kind of inspire the team as well, right? Just coming back and playing in that World Series probably just gave them a lot of mental toughness
I mean, back into the lineup, he hit the ball too.
Yeah, I mean, he was producing. It wasn't like he was just there to stand as a decoy, right? He was producing. So, like, there obviously he was worth a ton, but I do wonder
was there a point where maybe they should have moved him for max value? That isn't to say I still believe in Kyle Schwarber to a certain degree, but is he ever going to be that 280, 300 hitter that he once was thought to be? It's not looking like it, you know? So these are the things that you need to figure out. Did you make the wrong decision? Did you keep the wrong guys in the past? And now you need to make sure you don't make those mistakes going forward. And so that is a big part of it for me. Going forward, I need to see more times where they win the deal or they make the right move. They let the right guy move on and they keep the right guy.
What's the most interesting thing about this offseason now that they have the hitting coach thing squared away, and we'll see if Jason McLeod ends up leaving, take the Giants job. Wait, before I ask you that, Sahada, let me ask you this. I rarely do this, but let me ask you this. Is there value in being the number three guy or four guy in an organization that's consistently winning versus trying to go to an organization and being the top guy and failing?
Sure. You're saying just value for that person as far as job experience, right? I mean, like Terry Francona, just let's put it to a manager, right? Francona always says he wouldn't have been as good in Boston if he didn't get the opportunity to fail in Philly, right? So maybe McLeod's gaining, whoever it is, McLeod or any aspiring GM team president, they're gaining all this knowledge all these years over the years in different positions. Jason's held so many different positions over the years, and right now he's basically as high as you can get without being the guy making the decision, right? So he's gained all this knowledge, watched under one of the best executives that's ever been around the game, and even if he goes out there and he doesn't do well, he's going to learn something. I mean, Jed surely learned something in his few years
in San Diego.
In San Diego, right? So these guys are always learning. I think everybody, we all learn in when we make mistakes, when we fail at something, or when we screw up, right? There's always something to be learned. You prefer not to screw up or make mistakes at the highest level, one of the 30 positions that are available, because you never know when you'll get another chance. But a guy as highly respected as him, you'd think it would come around again at some point, even if it doesn't go well. And that's not right now. I'm just making the assumption that it wouldn't go well, right? Nothing's happened yet. So it'll be interesting to see where he's headed, if he's headed anywhere. But, I mean, I think San Francisco is one of those opportunities that you really do consider, right?
Was up for the Twins job, I was like, no, that's not what you want. But the Giants job, like, that's a job where I think it's more enticing to have you leave Camelot to take that job versus a job in Minnesota.
Exactly. He's been in this position for a while, right? Because he's so highly respected around the game that he's had that luxury of kind of saying, well, I can kind of stick around in a great situation and wait for the right opportunity. And if this turns out to be that right opportunity, good, you know, great for him. These jobs are hard to come by, and you know, there are a few of them that are elite, and that's pretty close to elite.
Okay, so now I can ask the question. Outside of all of this, what's the thing that you're most interested in with the Cubs?
Yeah, this is a really fascinating offseason for me. Basically, what I want to see, I want to see how they address the offense. Obviously, there are two guys that make it really easy, right? Manny or Bryce, you fix the offense by adding the best talent that you can possibly have. Sorry, I was getting another call, so I needed to reject.
Was it
that.
Was it from Chili? Was it Chili Davis?
If it was from Chili, I would have said, Lawrence, I have to go. This guy is going to give me something. Like, there's no doubt I will get something good talking to Chili. But, I mean, obviously, quick fix for the offense, but I want to see beyond that. I want to see how they add. I mean, Theo was not mincing words when he spoke to us 2 weeks ago. And when he talked about adding edge, adding that element to the clubhouse, he did mention that, yeah, maybe losing does that. Maybe that brings something to the table that you didn't have before. There's no doubt in my mind that he's not going to just rest his laurels on assuming that happens. They're going to bring someone in, and I don't know if it could be one of the, whether that's Machado or Bryce Harper. I don't know if they bring that. But it most likely it comes in a smaller form, right? Someone that you don't really think about as a significant addition as far as producing on the field, but it's going to be someone that's going to be vital to them winning again. And I really look at this team as this window of opportunity is there, right? You have 3 more years of Chris Bryant, and kind of everybody is around for about 2 or 3 more years. That really is the key part of this organization, this revival of Cubs baseball that we're watching. And you don't want to miss out, right? Every offseason now is key. It's critical. All the moves matter. Every little decision that you make. And we're watching Houston try and make a run. And look, they don't look exhausted, right? They don't look overmatched against a team that won 108 games, right? They don't. Maybe they may lose this series, but they don't look exhausted. They didn't have a World Series hangover. So that kind of busts the myth of what happened last season. And now you're talking about it openly that something is missing in this clubhouse. So I want to see how they can change it, how they can bring that back. How can they ever make it like 2016 again, right? It's never going to be 2016, I know that. But can you bring back that element that pushed you on a daily basis, that made that team so great and made them so hungry to win a World Series?
I wish that we had more time because I actually would love to talk to you about that because I know that there were some early returns on the OPS of Astros players early in the season. But we'll do it over a beer. We'll do it over a beer.
Sahadev, I would love that.
Go ahead and take the call from Chile. I appreciate you jumping on, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take care, Lawrence.
That's Sahadev Sharma. He covers the Cubs for The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at Sahadev Sharma. Top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Coach Collins and Northwestern Basketball returns to the new Welsh Ryan Arena November 2nd. Season tickets on sale now at nusports.com. Our buddy Layla Rahimi is here. Apparently, I'm not the only one getting feisty on Twitter. We'll talk with her about that next here on The Score.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.